Lord, I ask that all my words and the meditations of each of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, O Christ, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. After reading the story of Nicodemus, I realized that I would have made a great Pharisee. Actually, I think I am one. And the more I live, the more I wrap myself around that I'd make a really great Pharisee. And the reason I'd make a great Pharisee is that I love to take order and wrap it around chaos and try to control chaos with order. Do any of you do that? When I'm anxious, when I feel like things are going out of control in my life, I take things apart at home and put them together in order, because that way at least something's in order. I just tore apart a closet last week. If you come to my house and you look in the linen closet, it's perfectly in order. Now, what I was concerned about did not get orderly, but at least my closet is in order. Have you ever done that? When life is out of control, you got to find some way to impose order on it. And that's why I kind of like the Pharisees. Nicodemus was a Pharisee, and the Pharisees were good people. They were people who imposed order. They were people who really took the claims of God and took them so seriously that they devoted their lives to looking at the law and following it very closely. And not only following it, but giving an example to others and teaching others, because the philosophy was that if everyone, even for a day, would follow God's law, that the kingdom of God would come. And so it was important to follow God's law. And they did it beautifully. But not only that, the times that the Pharisees were living in were chaotic times. There was a group of people called the Sanhedrin, and Nicodemus, the man who went to Jesus at night, was a member of the Sanhedrin. That was the ruling council. And this ruling council were not just people who imposed laws on others, but they were people who were trying to make order out of chaos. For you see, the people were under Roman occupation. And if you remember anything of your history, the Romans wanted order above all things. And if things were not in order, they would brutally repress the people. So it was contingent upon the Pharisees and upon these ruling orders to keep the people in line and make sure that they could preserve their way of life. After all, their great temple was in Jerusalem, and they wanted to preserve that. All the wonderful gifts that God had given to the people of Israel and their racial identity, they wanted to preserve that. And the only way to do that was to try to keep things in line. I understand that. And lest we think that the Pharisees we're on the wrong track, and because we're Christians, we know better, I look at that wonderful verse of scripture, "For God so loved the world," and I think how we have taken it as a Pharisaical rule and said, you know, if you believe this, your ticket is stamped. And you got to make sure your ticket is stamped for heaven. And we've taken these wonderful concepts and we've tamed them, because we want to have order. So Nicodemus wanted to go see Jesus because in their order, there was this guy walking around upending things. And he was teaching and crowds were following him. And it wasn't that the Pharisees did not agree with him, but they felt he was creating chaos, which could destroy their way of life. So I imagine there were a lot of debates in the Sanhedrin assembly over this man Jesus. And they had agreed together, well, that he must be somebody sent from God because he was doing things that they knew only God could do. But there was a lot of disagreement, so Nicodemus went to see him. Now, some people think that Nicodemus went at night because he was too afraid for people to see him going during the day to see this man. But I'm not sure that's the case, because a lot of Pharisees engaged with Jesus during the day. Half his conversations were with Pharisees. Some were antagonistic, but others weren't. He even went to homes of Pharisees and sat down and ate. So I'm not sure it was that Nicodemus didn't want to be seen with Jesus. I think it was that he wanted to give Jesus a fair hearing, so that he could engage deeply with Jesus without other people around, and he'd be able then to bring back the word to the Sanhedrin. You know, this guy's okay. He believes as we do. He might have different methods. And, you know, maybe he should come and visit us, and we can strategize together. I'm sure he wanted things in order. And so he walks in and he talks to Jesus. And Jesus, rather than engaging him, rather than having a logical argument, have you really read this passage? Every time I read it, I say, what on the earth is he talking about? And I'm sure that's what Nicodemus thought. Because Nicodemus comes and says, Jesus, we know that you're a good person. We know that these are things from God. And what does Jesus say? Well, yes, I want to tell you how God called me into this work. No! He said, truly I say to you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born from above. Talk about a non sequitur. And I can understand Nicodemus saying, wait, what? What Jesus was saying was, God cannot be fettered. God cannot be tamed. The wind blows where it will, and that's how the Spirit of God is. And the only way to be regenerated is for that animating spirit to come into you. Well, you can't control that. And I can understand why Nicodemus was a little concerned about this man who was saying these off-the-wall things. Not talking about following the law. He's talking about being regenerated by the power of God. But you see, when we try to quantify religion, when we try to control God, then what happens when life is chaotic? And when life doesn't turn out the way we think it should? Is our God big enough to take care of that? If you remember your history, all the things that Nicodemus and his friends wanted to control and wanted to stave off, about 3 to 4 decades after that conversation, the Roman army swept in and the temple was gone. And all their way of life was destroyed. But God was not destroyed. You see, we can only control so much. And then we have to throw ourselves on the grace of God, on the winsomeness of God, on the love of God, on the might of God to get us through chaotic times. I think that's what the psalmist understood when he said, I lift my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? You see, the ancients thought that the hills contained the gods. And so on those hills were dotted many statues of the gods formed in humanity's image. And so when the psalmist looked up to those hills and he saw all the representations of humanity's idea of God, he said, I look to the hills, where does my help come? Not from them. My help comes from the created the Creator God, the God who made heaven and earth, the God who neither slumbers nor sleeps, the God who cannot be contained, the God who cannot be fettered, the God who is above all and in all, the God who sent Jesus and through death created life. That makes no sense to us. And yet it's true that even in death, God has created life. And when he says, God so loved the world that he gave eternal life, that's not, let's stamp our ticket for heaven. Eternal life means the life right now in the spirit. And this is what God gives to us, especially when times are chaotic. We only need to look at the newspaper or look at the TV news at night and see the chaos in our lives. And yes, we might be able to impose order. I know there's other closets I'm going to clean. But I don't want to fetter God. I don't want my understanding of God to be so limited that I miss seeing God's greatness, seeing God's love in this world, seeing the Spirit at work. How about you? In the chaos, can we rest in the Almighty's embrace? Can we understand that I might not be able to control the chaos, but God Almighty still has this world in his hands? Let us pray. Lord, I ask that you would give to us the power of your Spirit, that you would regenerate us from above, that in the chaos we might see your grace, your mercy, your love. This week, as we look up, may we look beyond whatever we see here and see your mercy and greatness in our lives. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.